Welcome to Borderline Discourse. I'm your host, Phil McCrory. Today, we're going to kind of go away from the news and discuss some bigger picture topics and have a little bit of fun making some
future predictions.
I'm sorry, the robot. Let's take a step away from all of this ridiculous nonsense that we call our electoral process in 2016. Jesus Louises, folks at home. I have never been so proud of the American populace and at the same time been so horrified by them. It's Trump supporters. I don't know if anybody would even think about listening to this podcast if you were a Trump supporter. Well, I'm brand new, so you might not have any idea what you're getting into. But if you've got family that are Trump supporters, just shame the shit out of them until they come to their senses. Or maybe they're just, we shouldn't be associating with these people. It's hard to see what his appeal is beyond racism. You know, all these Northern Democrats jumping on board, Northern Republicans who have been anti-big business, anti-universal health care, anti-Planned Parenthood if they're, religious or if they're that kind of Republican affiliation. Trump just, they're not supporting Trump because of his economic policies. And even the KKK and David, this is not a Trump episode. This is an episode about
the near future.
Discuss what I think is going to happen to Trump in the near future. You know, all the punditry kind of declaring or speculating all these third party runs, which I think would be great. I don't understand why Republicans would do that unless they're afraid long term. Which it kind of surprises me that they have any concern for the brand at this point. But regardless, if they have any long-term plans for the brand, they would want to run somebody else. Let's just assume a few things and go from there. Let's assume. We can assume either Trump wins the nomination or loses the nomination and then runs his own third party because there's nothing legally against it and his little promise really doesn't mean much if you follow Donald Trump. So regardless, this baboon is running for president. What happens next could be really interesting. Democrats win. Hillary, Bernie, likely Hillary, unless she is under criminal investigation again. It's a lot of, who knows if any of this stuff will stick, but it could have an effect on the next 2 weeks of elections. Regardless, whoever wins the Democratic nomination will likely win the presidency, just because I don't know in this climate how you're going to get Latinos, black folks, and women to vote for Republicans in any significant way, especially when you have Donald Trump leading the Republican ticket. So Donald Trump is on the Republican ticket. What happens now is that people see Donald Trump on the top of this ticket and generally just do not vote for Republicans. Now, obviously, this doesn't happen with everybody, but there's enough reason to believe, and this is a Republican theory right now, and why they're really sounding all the alarm bells. They believe that people will just associate the Republican Party with Donald Trump, associate the Republican Party with bigotry and racism, because nobody has ever. Why? How dare you, sir, accuse Republicans of using racially divisive politics, 40 years of dog whistles, it's catching up to you. Sorry, Republicans, you can't just thread that racist line all the time and play on people's bigotry and expect that one day they won't coalesce around a guy like Donald Trump. The Republican Party is in dire straits. Regardless, let's get back to my little prediction here. A little fun, little prognosticating. So, Democrats win the House. Democrats win. Well, let's not say the House. Let's say Democrats win the Senate and they gain ground in the House. They win the presidency. The Republican Party is broken. Trump voters feel alienated. The Tea Party, these just kind of the, let's call them the know-nothings, the willfully ignorant section of the population will, you know, fall back on their conspiracy theory websites and form their own political party, making up, you know, I don't know, 15% of the electorate, 10%. Then you have leftover Republicans who really have no place to go. And I see in the future those two part the that party and the centrist wing of the Democratic Party, essentially your Wall Street Democrats, forming a coalition and eventually coalescing as some kind of grand old party themselves, some hybridization of the way things were. And I think that democratic socialism or socialism in some other form is really going to take hold. I think it's a very American idea. And I'll get into that at another time. But, you know, we in this country don't believe in a landed gentry. We don't believe in royalty. And I don't know why we're creating another class. We do away with their death taxes, estate taxes, so people can pass massive amounts of wealth to the next generations. And first, you think that makes sense. But then you look at, you know, the proportion of wealth that's being passed down. And this is, nothing is coming back to society. They are just milking the capital they gain from our labor and our ideas and our, well, I guess, consumer behavior at this point. They just feed on that and it doesn't come back to us. They don't reinvest in our communities. There's a billionaire class of people around the world who really just don't care. They think that the world is shit. They don't mind that it's going to shit because they already view it as this big cesspool that they sit above. They don't worry about what's going to happen to the rest of us. How you can look at these problems and decide that global capitalism is somehow sustainable in the future. The advances in artificial intelligence alone, the amount of jobs that's going to take away, white-collar jobs, we are going to have to find something for people to do. There will be no work. And when robotics advance, you know, in the next few decades, you're even seeing, you know, all the service economy jobs disappearing. All these programmers, you know, I'm sorry, guys. Everybody out there getting all these programming degrees, you're never going to be as fast or as good as artificial intelligence. Not, and certainly not as cheap. And you think these corporations, these inhuman creations, are going to think twice about replacing you? I had a job in the financial industry where, you know, without saying it, but if you figure it out, I was, you know, writing programs, creating a system. I'm not writing any programs, believe me. Helping create a system, helping develop tests, a system that would replace me. And this is happening in every industry everywhere, but especially in the financial industries and the tech industries, which is where all the jobs and the money are right now. How are we going to sustain this? How in the future are we just going to keep exploiting different markets? How many markets are left? They can't be exploited. They just create new ones. It's the idea of, you know, hedge funds and financial vehicles. It's just complicated fantasy math. It's like Dungeons and Dragons for people obsessed with money. It's just layers upon layers of fantasy and people betting on these and 12-sided die of this bullshit. It's not real. And as we all, I mean, you know, I'll use the "we're out there" example, but solar flare. See, solar flare hits and all the computers go down. What value is any of this? How are we going to survive? Now, I'm not some kind of Ted Kaczynski, and I'm not saying we all need to go off the grid, because that's ridiculous in this world. There's too many things going on, and that's, I don't understand how people can argue for smaller government in an age where we need more and more watchdogs everywhere. I mean, what corporations have done to our watchdogs, our fourth estate, our media, there's no one left to look out for us. The government actually looks out for us, and we are the government. And the more the more you participate in government, the more it works for you. And I'm not somebody who goes out and, you know, really actively participates. You know, I'm a grumpy individual. I am destined for curmudgeonry in my later years. But I made a point in my life to understand the mechanisms and the way things work around me and understand the importance of which. And there was a time when I thought it was all bullshit and paying taxes and blah, blah, blah. But I grew up and I did my homework. And what you come to learn if you really just take a look around you is that corporatism is out of control. And there's a battle between government regulation and, you know, corporate profit-driven motivations to, you know, just continue to make money for the corporation. It's not about making a better product or cementing a legacy. It's just about feeding the beast. And we have to battle it as a populace. And going into the future, I don't see how corporatism doesn't become even more inhuman, as it doesn't need humans. Right now, we're the primary source of labor, but as soon as we're replaced, what do you think that these corporations are going to lobby against in government if they have the money to do so? We have to remove corporate influence from every level of government, or the future is going to be a very scary place. So to get back to my larger political point, is that I do think that this last gasp of racism and that last generation that really had it embedded, and I know there's plenty of young racists out there, believe me, but, you know, in this next wave of the baby boomers die, we're going to move even further to the left. And it's time economically. Technology's progressing to a point where we need to start thinking about new ways to organize our society. And one of those is probably the welfare state. And we need it. And we're going to need it in the future, because don't we want to live in the greatest society the world's ever seen? Isn't that the goal? Or is it just to line the pockets of the most gilded amongst us? I don't think that's American. I think it's anti-American. And I do think this sentiment is catching on the left and on the right. The one thing about Trump that surprises Republicans and freaks them out the most is the populist economic stuff. He's promising a lot of the same stuff. Actually, until just yesterday, he was promising universal health care. And I don't know, this new health bill, it's all nonsense. He's all nonsense. So in the future, I see the Democratic Party splitting. I see the Republican Party dissolving. As more and more Americans feel the American dream slip away, we're going to keep asking, well, where did it go? And the answer is that it went straight to the top. Their wealth has increased exponentially in the past decades since they've rolled back the New Deal. Ever since we passed it, they've been rolling back the New Deal, the capitalist, Democrat, and Republican. And I think the American people have had enough. And I think that I think that's what you're seeing, you know, the surprise backlash against Hillary amongst the educated parts of the party. It's just saying that, like, we don't see how your way is going to continue to work. The Clintons moved us to this, you know, closer to this one world economy and let the billionaire class expand their powers. So to sum up and finish these rants, the Republican Party will never be the same. And in the next 2 weeks, we're really going to see something happen here. It's really interesting time to be alive, everybody. Get excited about these elections. Our entire system is being reshaped. And maybe it's the internet age catching up with everything. It's hard to see what's happening as it's happening. But into the future, I am hopeful, and I do think people are sick and tired of the status quo. We're sick of our planet and our people being exploited by greed. And I do think we can fight back against this. And I, for the first time in my life, I really have faith in the American people that we can save our democracy from greed. The one objective evil in this world may also be our legacy as Americans. We can change it. Let's move into the next age of enlightenment in this country and learn that we are all one species on this planet. And it is small, and we are threatened. Our planet is dying. And if the human race can survive another 1,000 years, will they look back on the United States and say, in the face of certain doom, they recognized that they were all in it together, and they refused to be controlled by an oligarchy, by a landed gentry, by a royalty, what we fought our revolution for in the first place. Will they look back at 2016 and go, that was the year, that was the year the democratization of the internet finally changed everything and allowed the people of the United States to realign their priorities as they head into the 21st century? Will it read in our history books that the catalyst for this monumental shift to the left in this country was none other than Donald J. Trump, liberal hero? Thanks for listening. You guys, if you have any questions, comments, duties, hate mail, please send them to BorderlineDiscourse@gmail.com. Or find us at @BorderlineDisco on Twitter or on Facebook. Till next time.